Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church Podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our guest speaker.
Thankful to be here in this place with you today. My name is Stephen Rummage, and it's my great joy to serve as the Executive Director for your Florida Baptist Convention. And I wanted to tell you how thankful to God my wife, Michelle, and I are to be here with you on this special day. Congratulations on 90 years of faithful ministry here at your church. God is using you in great and mighty ways. Jesus promised, I will build my church. And then he said, and the gates of hell will not stand against his church, will not be able to prevail against his church. I'm thankful to God for a church that for 90 years has had an incredibly faithful ministry. And here's the good news. I know that as great as your history has been, your future is even brighter as you walk with the Lord. Would you say amen to that? Amen and praise the Lord. Well, I want to tell you how thankful to God I am for your pastor. I love every pastor I have opportunity to work with in the Florida Baptist Convention. I love them because I'm commanded by Jesus Christ to love all of them. So I love all of them. But then there are some pastors that I just really, really, really enjoy. And your pastor is one of those pastors. Sometimes I'll be making calls to pastors during the week, and most of the time I'll talk to them maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. That's about as long as they want to talk to me. Sometimes that's about as long as I want to talk to some of them. But man, when I get on the phone with your pastor, I talk to Calvin Carr, and we will talk for an hour and a half. And I love every minute of it. I hope he enjoys talking to me as much as I enjoy talking to him. Your pastor, praise God for him. Praise God for Kelly. Your pastor is loved all across this state. He's loved all over this region. But I know no group of people love him more than the people in this room right now. Will you express your appreciation to your pastor? Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Amen. Brother Calvin, I just love you. I thank God for you, and I'm honored to stand in this place today. I want you to take your Bibles. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. And I've given my message today the title, I Found You. I Found You. The way Jesus Christ builds His church is by finding those who are lost and then bringing them to Himself. And God blesses churches the way God has blessed your church. When a church has a heart for joining with Jesus in seeking the lost, and bringing lost people to Jesus that they might be saved. That's why I love what we do together as Florida Baptists. God is bringing people from all over the country, really all over the world, right here to Florida. And so many of them do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. 23 million people live in the state of Florida. And the vast majority of them do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. One of the things that God does through our work together as Florida Baptist is to bring people to know Jesus as Savior. And I'm thankful. Last year, our Florida Baptist churches baptized 30,701 new believers who followed Jesus Christ in believers' baptism. Praise God for that. I praise God for that. And I praise God for the way God is using your church, because I know that God is using your church to seek the lost and to bring them to Jesus that they might be saved. And so today we're talking about how Jesus seeks and saves the lost. I want you to hear what the Word of God says beginning in verse 1 of Luke chapter 15. The Bible says this, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Can I just stop right there? Aren't you thankful that Jesus receives sinners? And not only that, it says he receives sinners and eats with them. I love the fact that we're gathered around tables today. It reminds us Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. He doesn't just receive them and say, I'm going to hold you at arm's length. I'll save you, but I really don't want to have anything else to do with you. No, he receives sinners, and then he sits down and eats with them. As we gather around the table today, we're reminded that the Lord receives us. He eats with us. And yet, the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious leaders, were offended because Jesus would receive notorious sinners and eat with them. And so, verse 3, so Jesus told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so, Jesus said, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. Will you join with me as we pray? Lord God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for this good day that you've given us. Lord, thank you for what we celebrate today. Thank you, God, for the way you have worked. And Lord, I thank you that today all of heaven will rejoice when just one sinner turns to Jesus Christ and is saved. When just one lost person gets saved. Thank you, Lord, for that promise. And so, Father, I'm praying today for those in this room who have never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord. Lord, I pray for lost people here today. Lord, show them right now how much you love them and how much they need you, that today they might turn to Jesus and be saved. And Father, I pray in these moments that you would just move me out of the way, and God, that you would speak. Speak to believers here, encourage us in our faith, encourage us to seek the lost in Jesus' name. And then, Lord, for those who have never trusted Christ, Lord, show them today that today they can call on Jesus and be saved. We'll give you glory and honor and praise for all that you do. For we pray these things in Jesus' holy name. And church, if you agree with that prayer, will you say amen? Amen. Amen. Something happened back in the spring of 2009. 4 young men, the oldest were about 29 years old, the youngest were about 25. 4 young men, all of them football players, 2 of them former college football players, 2 of them professional football players. They were fishing off of the coast of Clearwater, Florida, about 75 miles off the coast. And something happened. They never knew exactly what happened, but their anchor got caught on the bottom of the Gulf. And as the water would go up, it began just to pull that boat apart because of the stuck anchor. The back of the boat was pulled down. The top of the boat, the front of the boat went up in the air. It went from side to side. It catapulted all 4 young men into the water. And there they were, trying to tread water, just stay alive. There was no time for a distress signal. They were there out in the Gulf, wondering if anyone would come and find them as the wind and the waves grew stronger and stronger, as night fell and as that storm gathered, there they were. They treaded water for as long as they could. They tried to encourage one another, but first one of them and then a second and then a third of these young men died in those waters. 1 young man was left. His name was Nick Schuyler. Nick Schuyler somehow managed to stay afloat. He treaded water in spite of the fact that he was having hallucinations, in spite of the fact that he was very, very tired. His body temperature dropped to 88.8 degrees, which is very dangerous, and yet he survived. Nick Schuyler survived for one reason. Somebody was looking for him. Somebody was searching for him. U.S. Coast Guard was out in the Gulf. They spent about 65 hours searching an area of 16,000 square miles. They spent $1.7 million seeking this young man until they found him. Because if someone wasn't seeking him, he was a goner. The Bible says, Jesus says, in Luke chapter 10 or Luke chapter 19 verse 10, Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save who? The lost. The lost. This whole chapter, Luke 15, is about Jesus seeking and saving the lost. He tells parable after parable to talk about how he came to seek and to save the lost, and how all of heaven rejoices when even one lost person turns from sin and turns to Jesus. I want us to look, though, at this first parable that Jesus tells, the parable of the shepherd and the sheep. The imagery here is very simple. The shepherd represents Jesus, the good shepherd who seeks us. The lost sheep represents us, lost in our sin apart from Jesus. I want you to think with me about what the shepherd does for his lost sheep. The first thing we see in this text is what the shepherd relinquishes for his lost sheep. What the shepherd relinquishes for his lost sheep. Look in verse 4 of the text. Jesus asked this question, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and then go after the one until he finds it? Here's a shepherd. He's got 100 sheep, and one gets lost. Now, if you ask a shepherd will tell you that sheep don't usually run away deliberately. Instead, sheep get lost by sort of nibbling their way into lostness. A sheep is nibbling on some grass over here with the rest of the flock, and then he sees some grass over here, and he nibbles on that grass. He sees a little bit of grass over here, and soon he's over here, and then he sees some grass over here, and then he just gets farther and farther away from the fold, and suddenly he doesn't realize it. But little nibble by little nibble, he's gotten himself further and further away from where he's supposed to be until he finds that he is lost. And he looks around, and he doesn't see any other sheep. He begins to call out and to bleat, and he is exposed to any wild animal that would come and attack him, and he does not know how to get home. The shepherd had 100 sheep. 99 were safe in the fold, and one got lost. And the shepherd knows his sheep. Every now and then he counts the sheep, and so he's counting them, 96, 97, 98, 99. One's lost. He starts again. 96, 97, 98, 99. And he realizes, there's no doubt about it, one sheep is lost. And he knows his sheep so well. He knows exactly which sheep it is. It's that sheep with the white face and the black mark on its front leg. He knows which sheep it is. And notice what the Bible says. It says he leaves the 99 in the open country. The word leave there means to abandon. He relinquishes the place of safety. He relinquishes the place of security. And he goes where the lost sheep is. That's what Jesus did for you. Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, left the golden throne room of heaven. He came down to this old world. He was born in a humble place, a hidden place there in Bethlehem. He lived a life where he was mistreated and misunderstood. And then he died a humiliating death on the cross of Calvary. All for you, because he loves the lost sheep. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I read an interview where an Old Testament professor at one of our seminaries interviewed a Bedouin shepherd in Jordan who tends sheep in the same way that they tended sheep in the days of Jesus. And the professor asked the shepherd, how many sheep do you have? He said, I have 2,000 sheep. He said to him, do you know all of your sheep? He said, yes, I know all of them. He said, they're not just numbers to me. They're not just animals to me. This is not just a business to me. This is a matter of my own heart. He said, I know all my sheep. And then the professor asked him, have you ever lost a sheep? He said, yes. He said, and when I've lost a sheep, I keep looking for that sheep until dead or alive, I find my sheep. And then the shepherd stopped for a moment. He said, I had one sheep that I could never find. He said, and I still think about that sheep now when I go to bed at night. The shepherd loves his sheep. He loves that one sheep so much that he would relinquish everything just to find that sheep. That's how much Jesus loves you. He left heaven. He came to earth because he loves you so much. And so we see what the shepherd relinquishes for his lost sheep. But then secondly, as we look at this text, think with me about what the shepherd risks for his lost sheep. What the shepherd risks for his lost sheep. The Bible says, if he has lost one, look again in verse 4, if he has lost one of them, Jesus says, does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? He risks everything. He goes to the wilderness and he keeps looking and looking and looking and looking for that sheep. And this isn't just a formality. This isn't just a cursory search where he goes out and looks for a little while and says, well, I looked, but I can't find it. No, he looks for that sheep until he finds it. He doesn't come back until he comes back with that sheep. A few weeks ago, Michelle and I were traveling. We were down in Miami, and we gotten there a little bit earlier. I was preaching on Sunday at a church, and we got there earlier on Saturday than we usually arrive. And so we went out to eat lunch there at a sort of an outdoor mall there in the Miami area. And after we had eaten lunch, we saw a Hobby Lobby nearby. And we went to the Hobby Lobby because that's what we do when we see a Hobby Lobby. You know, we need to go to the Hobby Lobby. Well, honey, what do you need? Well, we need to go. And the truth is, I love to go. I like going to the Hobby Lobby, so I don't have to be dragged into there. I like going into the Hobby Lobby. So we're going around, we're looking around at the Hobby Lobby, seeing all the different things. And I'm shopping in an area of the store where there's all this shepherd and sheep imagery. It's a home decor area, but it's just like shepherd and sheep themed home decor. Some of the verses that we've talked about today were there. Other verses like Psalm 23, other things. All these pictures of shepherds and sheep. And so I'm just looking there, and I see this lady in the store. She's in the same area looking around, and she's wearing a t-shirt with a sheep on it. Here's what it said. It said, he left the 99 to find me. And I saw that and I thought, man, me too. Would you say me too? He left the 99 to find me. Jesus loves you so much that he left the 99 and he risked everything just to find you. In fact, in this parable, the shepherd risks everything. He risks his life for the sheep. But the truth is, Jesus, the good shepherd, gave his life for the sheep. Jesus said it in John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. One of our great pastors in Florida was a man named Bobby Welch. Bobby is still living. He no longer is able to preach, but he served for many, many years as pastor of First Baptist Church, Daytona Beach. And Bobby had a famous message that he would preach on this text. He would talk about the shepherd and the sheep. And Bobby did something. Bobby was an Army Ranger, and he was an incredibly athletic guy. And so he would do this thing when he would preach on the shepherd and the lost sheep. I'm not going to do this, by the way, but he would go all around the auditorium. He would love being here. He'd be looking underneath all the tables from a door. He'd just go all around the auditorium pretending he was the shepherd looking for the lost sheep. And if a church had a balcony, he loved that. Because he'd go up into the balcony and he'd sort of lop his foot over the rail of the balcony and hang over the edge of the balcony, pretending to be the shepherd looking for the lost sheep. I served a church in North Carolina where he had preached that message, and they had a balcony. He leaned over, and when he did, he scuffed the front of the balcony with his shoe. Later on, they painted that auditorium, but they left the scuff mark on the balcony just to remind everybody of that sermon that Bobby had preached. And he told me one time, he said, one time I preached that message and did all those things. He said, a man came up to me afterwards, and he said, Brother Bobby, you know, you did all those acrobatics and you leaned over the balcony and all those things. He said, but what if your foot had slipped? And what if you had fallen off of that balcony and fallen about a story and a half down and hit that hard floor? What if you had plunged down head first and broken your neck? He said, that story wouldn't be so cute anymore, would it, Brother Bobby? And Bobby said, sir, what if I had slipped and fallen and broken my neck and died, and for the rest of your life you would be able to say, I was in a service where a Baptist preacher died trying to tell me how much Jesus loves the lost. He said, brother, I think that would be worth it. Jesus risked everything. He laid down his life for you. Because that's the only price he could pay. He paid the only price that could be paid for us with his own blood when he died on the cross. We see how the shepherd risks for the lost sheep. But there's a third thing that I want you to notice in this text. Think with me about how the shepherd rescues his lost sheep. How the shepherd rescues his lost sheep. Look in verse 5 of the text. The Bible says, and when he has found it, Jesus says, and when he has found the sheep, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. I love that. He comes to the sheep. He finds the sheep. And when he finds the sheep, he puts it on his shoulders and carries that sheep back home. It reminds me of something. The sheep is responsible for one thing, getting lost. The shepherd is responsible for everything else. Listen, when I got saved, when I trusted Jesus as my Savior as a 6-year-old boy, the only thing I brought to the table was my sin. That's all I had. I brought Him my sin. I was responsible for being lost. And He did all of the saving. The shepherd comes to that lost sheep and puts the sheep on his shoulders. Think about some of the things the shepherd didn't do. The shepherd didn't come to the sheep and say, hey, sheep, here's a map. You take it and find your way back home. Sheep can't read maps. They don't even have thumbs. They can't hold maps. He doesn't come to the sheep and beat the sheep and say, you sorry old lost sheep. Why do you keep getting lost? Listen, lost sheep are hurting already. They don't need more hurt. Instead, the shepherd came to the sheep and picked it up on his shoulders and took it back every step all the way to the fold. It reminds me of the words of Isaiah 53, verse 6, where the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He carries all of our iniquity, all of our sin on his shoulders. I've got a little book with me, and I want you to imagine that this little book represents my life. The front is my birth certificate. The last page is one day going to be my death certificate. And in between is everything I've ever done in all of my life. Somebody might say, well, Stephen, you know, the good probably outweighs the bad in your life. That may be true. But, you know, if you had 16 ounces of pure water and you add 1 ounce of sewer water, you've got contaminated water. And no matter how good my life may be, no matter how commendable my life may be, one sin in my life is enough to contaminate me in the sight of a holy God. One sin is enough to keep me out of heaven forever. So here's my life. with all the sin in my life. And that sin is on me. And here's God in His holiness, in His purity, in His love, in everything that He is. Here's God. And my sin always comes in between me and God. I can say, well, I'm going to try to turn over a new leaf, okay? Sin's still there. Well, I'm going to change the way I talk, or I'm going to change the things I do, or I'm going to change some of my relationships. I can't do anything to get rid of this sin that's in my life. But here's what God did. God sent the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, to come down to this old world. And when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that God laid on Him the iniquity of us all. God took all the sin that was in my life and He laid it on Jesus. Then Jesus took that sin and He buried it in His tomb. And He came out of the tomb on the third day with eternal life for everyone who trusts in me. So that when I turn to Jesus and ask Him to save me, because He is the Good Shepherd, nothing comes between me and my God. I can be saved because of what Jesus Christ did to rescue me. Dear friend, the same thing is true for you. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, right now that sin is on you. You can't do anything to get rid of it. But Jesus has already done everything that needs to be done. He died on the cross. Your sin was laid on Him. And He will save you and give you eternal life if you trust in Him. We see how the shepherd rescues his lost sheep. There's a final thing that I want you to see in this text. Number four, think with me about how the shepherd rejoices over his lost sheep. How the shepherd rejoices over his lost sheep. And you know something? It dawns on me that I probably used the wrong word in this last point. It's not how the shepherd rejoices over his lost sheep. It's how the shepherd rejoices over his found sheep. Praise God. I'm not a lost sheep anymore. I've come to Jesus. The Bible says this, verse 6. And when the shepherd comes home, Jesus says, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Praise God. Now notice two important words there that the shepherd uses. He says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. The word found there is actually a form of the Greek word eureka. I found it. I found the one I was looking for. It's a powerful word, but the word for lost is even more powerful. The word lost there doesn't just mean misplaced. It doesn't just mean someone far away from where he should be. The word lost there literally means perishing. It means marked for death. The shepherd understood something the sheep could not know. The shepherd understood that that lost sheep was perishing and marked for death. That's why the shepherd rejoices so much as he brings that lost sheep home. Then look in verse 7. Just so I tell you, Jesus said, there will be more joy in heaven over how many? You tell me. Say it real loud. How many? One. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. You know what brings all of heaven to its feet in applause? When one sinner is found by Jesus. When one sinner repents and gets saved. I think about the time when I was a little boy, 6 years old, and I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I think about all that has happened since then. I believe there have been things that have happened in my life since then that heaven has rejoiced over. I think heaven rejoiced when I met and fell in love with Michelle and when we got married. I think that honored the Lord and heaven rejoiced over that. I think heaven rejoiced when God gave us our son Joshua about 28 years ago when he was born, I rejoiced and Michelle rejoiced. I believe heaven rejoiced. I believe that all of heaven rejoiced. I know that all of heaven rejoiced about 10 weeks ago when our first grandbaby, a little granddaughter named Blair, was born. I think heaven rejoiced at those things. I think about my first sermon. I don't think heaven rejoiced over that. But can I tell you this? Of all, listen, this is true for me and this is true for you. Of all of the things in my life that God may have rejoiced over since I got saved, the thing He rejoices most over is the day that I got saved. The day you got saved is the greatest day in all of your eternity. God the Father rejoiced. God the Holy Spirit rejoiced. God the Son rejoiced. All the angels of heaven rejoiced. All of heaven rejoiced when you were saved. And if you've never been saved, today you have the opportunity to cause all of heaven to rejoice by simply turning to Jesus and asking Him to save you. A little girl was wandering out in the woods. She wandered farther and farther away from home until she couldn't find her way back. It got darker. Her parents began to miss her. And soon they had a search party looking for that little girl out in the woods. They searched all over for her. They searched until the middle of the night. And most of the neighbors gave up and said, "We'll just have to try again tomorrow." But her father didn't give up. He searched all night long. And finally, just as the dawn was breaking, he saw his precious little girl. She was asleep on a rock in the middle of the woods. He began to run toward her, and he called out her name. And as he called out her name, she woke up and she turned and she saw him running toward her. And as he picked her up in his arms, the little girl said over and over again, "Daddy, I found you. Daddy, I found you. Daddy, I found you." Well, that's how it seemed to her. But her father knew how much he had been searching. He knew how much danger she had been in. He knew that he was the one who did all the finding. Friend, when you got saved, it may have seemed to you as though you found Jesus. But make no mistake, He found you. He was searching for you. He loves you, and more than anything else, He desires to seek and to save the lost. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes as we pray together?
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.